Three of the Pro Way is brought to you by That Legendary Play. From historic moments to triumphant victories, iconic plays are immortalized at thatlegendaryplay.com.
Hey, what's up, y'all? This is Joey Kent. This week on Three of the Pro Way, we have a conversation with Ray Austin. This fascinating conversation begins with Ray walking us through his early years that eventually led him to the University of Tennessee, where he became a standout defensive back. He also became a fifth-round draft pick of the Jets and later played with the Chicago Bears and the Green Bay Packers. Ray talks about his unique story of transitioning from the NFL to entrepreneurship and establishing himself as an accomplished model and actor with a resume including print ads, television commercials, and television shows. Along with Ray's modeling and acting endeavors, he is currently the co-founder and the commissioner of the Fan Control Football Sports and Entertainment League, as well as the chief athletic officer of Athlete, athletic program to help college athletes grow their brand. We're excited to share this episode, and we hope you enjoy. All right, welcome to Three of the Pro Way podcast. I have my partners in crime, Kevin Dyson and Todd Campbell. We have a special guest tonight. I met this young man in 1993 or 94. My first thought when I met this our guest was, you know, he had a big personality. He was ultra competitive, athletic. We had some really good battles at University of Tennessee. And the one thing that I take pride in the most while I was at UT was being a captain, you know, our senior year. And walking out on the field shoulder to shoulder with you, you know, Peyton and Leonard and Jay, it was no better feeling than that than walking out with guys that, you know, we were going to go to war with, right? Like, we were going to give our all.
Yeah. It was no better feeling than that.
Yeah. You were drafted in the fifth round by the Chicago Bears, spent some time there, also spent time with the New York Jets. Now, after that, there's a laundry list of things that you've done. We're going to get to all that stuff, but to name a few, modeling. It's a lot. So now you're the founder of a Fan Control Football League, and we're gonna definitely talk about that. But our esteemed guest is Ray Austin.
Hey, man. What's up, my man?
Man, what up, man? I got esteemed. Damn, I've been called a lot of stuff. What about esteemed?
No, man, we're going to get into everything that you're doing now. But, you know, I want to kind of bring you back to when you were growing up, man. Kind of talk about your family life and where you grew up and how you grew up.
Yeah, man, I won't bore everybody with that as much. But I was a military brat, you know what I mean? And I've been everywhere from North Carolina is where I was born. Greensboro, North Carolina, came out the sticks. Hampton Home Projects, you know what I mean? And my dad did the right thing and joined, you know, he joined the military back then. And back then, that's what all, you know, black men had, to, you know, to get out the hood. So I've been to Louisiana, Shreveport. It ended up in Hawaii for 5 years. So a lot of my growing up was in Oahu with some great people, wonderful people out there, man. And that's where it all started, right there in football. And I will bring you back to, I will just say this about Hawaii. My freshman year, I got moved up to varsity and a senior running back was there. And he was an amazing person. I just wanted to be that dude because I didn't realize that there was actually college for playing football. And this guy showed me, you know, that could be possible. And so my career went on to Oklahoma, ended up being just blessed by the football guys to be at Oklahoma Lawton Eisenhower. Mm-hmm. My sophomore year there, we won the USA National Championship. We were the number one team in the country. We had 11 guys go Division I and four of us went to the NFL. So wow. It was back when Mount Carmel had Donovan McNabb. So they were the number two in the country at that time. So had a lot of success, man, in Oklahoma. Two straight track championships. I was a hurdler. I had the second fastest time in the country. I was an All-American hurdler, All-American football player, man, and had every opportunity to go anywhere I wanted to go. And I wanted to go to the only school that didn't recruit me.
So tell me that story, right? Because I don't even know why you chose Tennessee. Like, what was the story behind that?
Yeah, that was exactly the reason. There is no other reason because of I was being recruited by University of Nebraska when Coach Osborne was there because Mike Minner played at my school. That was one of the other football players that went to the NFL. Mike Minner was with the Nebraska was like, bro, we can come up in here and kill it. Mm-hmm. My dad was like, let's do it. Like, you need to go to Nebraska. And I was just looking at the map, and I'm just looking. I went to SoCal, Florida State. And I'm sitting there like, Tennessee. I actually watched, man, when Mo Williams did this, I was like, I want to go there, man. This is where I want to go. And they never recruited me. And I was just like, man. So I just went on, made my own highlight film. I got two VCRs, put them together. You know, when you was trying to, make your own record.
Right.
Made my own highlight film, sent it up to Big Phil, man. And he was down in the office the next week and was like, we ain't never come to Oklahoma. So no, a lot of people don't know this, but I take pride in this. I am the streamline from Oklahoma all the way to Tennessee because I was the first recruit that came out of there. And just, you look and imagine about all the players that have come out of there. And I remember when I got to Tennessee, Coach Fuma was like, called me in his office, like, who do you know? And I said, there's a number 12I played with. And this dude right here in the playoffs, man, like, I would tell
Marcus Nash.
We need to go get this dude. And they went and got Marcus based off of that. So, and then that just became everybody since then. So that was my football growing up, man.
Man, that's crazy because in this era of getting somewhere, getting exposure, getting to your place, and everybody posts, I got this offer from so-and-so and so-and-so. You had offers.
Yeah.
You had people. You and Nebraska at that time in the 90s?
Yeah, that was it.
Man.
That was school.
What?
Yep.
Yeah. And then you said, I'm going to go somebody I hadn't even talked to and make them notice me.
The only reason my mama didn't like Nebraska is because Coach Osborne was in he flew me back on a private jet and sat in my mama's living room and ate up all the Doritos.
Are you for real? Is that a true story?
That's a true story. That's a true story, bro. And I was just like, man, in all seriousness though, I went to Tennessee because they didn't have to recruit me because they had so many good athletes out that around there. You know, from the Tennessee, Alabama, Georgia, Florida, they didn't have to come all the way to Oklahoma. Plus, they think they'd lose you anyway to OU or Nebraska, whatnot. But I was like, man, that's where I want to go, and they need to know. And that was my main objective why I went to University of Tennessee.
I think your story, as far as you moving around so much growing up, it bode well for you when you came to Tennessee because you just fit right in. Like your personality just blended in with everybody else.
You know what, man? Because that's one thing I can say about the military, man. And you notice this, JK, man. We got you guys from the hood. Yeah. We got guys that made money from the West Coast in California. We had the country boys. And, you know, when you live in the military, you got 2, maybe 3 years to make best friends. And that's who your best friends are. Asian, Black, Samoan, or Filipino. You ain't care. We all shared the same thing. And it made me diverse, I think, even in my future. And I think that's the thing that I would tell any young guys, like, go out and travel. Go out and see other people and other cultures so you can be able to be diverse and be able to be in different, places when you need to be.
What did you think about Knoxville when you first got there, though?
it was a college place. I think out of all the places I've lived in, it was the biggest eye opener of like, man, it is not many of us here.
Yeah.
Like, damn, it is. I know him because he's on my football team. And then you get in the class and that other Black person you know is on the track team or she in a sorority and it's in the front. Yeah. It is very limited. And it was definitely an eye opener for sure. And it was, you could tell and feel the eyeballs always on you at that.
We had Shanika Holska on here. We talked about her experience. she's talking about how it was and that adjustment where she didn't realize like she needed a car. She used to ride in the subway. And Joey asked her, she said, how long was it before you, got homesick? She said, it was about a month.
It's interesting. And I can't talk about the teams after us, man. But back in the 90s, man, there was just a lot of cool. Like, there was a lot of brothers that was really trying to help you. You know what I'm saying? The Kendrick Joneses of the world, the Mo Phillips was of the world. The, you know, they were there to just like trying to mentor you around all the stuff that was going on. Like, you didn't know. So like, I appreciate, man, them was some probably of my best times in life. They were so iron sharpens iron back then for me. You know what I mean? Cause there was just so many good talented athletes out there. And I just knew I wasn't the fastest, the strongest, the biggest, you know, and I just had to figure it out. You know what I'm saying? So I had to be a jack of all trades to try to figure out how can I, you know, compete with these guys. And it really made me understand how much of a competitor I've been. And then I appreciate all those guys, man. They really what made me who I, you know, am as a man to me.
You know? I tell you what, practice, you know, a lot of times we say this, especially during the talent that we had that at that time in Tennessee, like sometimes practice was, you know, harder than games, right?
Yeah, man.
And I tell people all the time, like you were the toughest cover because you competed every single play. Like, if you got beat, if I got the best of you, you got the best of me, you'll still come back the next play every single time. That's what made Tennessee good back then. Obviously, along with the talent, but the competition level was so high.
And then to see that, like see you roasting dudes every day, all day, every day. It's like, man, I get to train with that cat, man. And I remember we used to watch film together and stuff. Mm-hmm. I used to ask
you summer times. So we used to go one-on-ones every single day.
And people don't understand, like, you can have all the ability in the world, but if you're not a student of the game, it really doesn't matter. Like, it really doesn't matter. Like, the real pros are the ones who, like, they take, regardless of what it is, it ain't got to be football, but they take that, what they're doing as a craft. And they study it. Yep. And that's how they get better at it.
So, Ray, let's talk for a second about some of the things you've said. Like, obviously, being a military guy, you went a lot of other places and those kind of things. So you never really kind of set that base. But at the same time, you always had an opportunity to say, hey, this is what I want to do. This is who I want to be. At what point in your career, and this may have been in middle school, high school, but it definitely wasn't in college. I don't think it was in college, because it sounds like in college you'd already made up your mind. Because as Joy said, I'm looking at your resume, dude. You got a lot of stuff. I can't print all that. So, but real talk, you know, what point did you say, this is the guy I want to be? Football may take me to it, but that's not what I want to do. I'm going to do a lot of different other things and just kind of, you know, put myself in that gravitational pull.
Man, yeah, man. It's fun. And I ain't even going to try to get emotion with this, but on some real talk, I wasn't the smartest guy coming up in school. I wasn't a real book dude. And people don't know this, man. If it wasn't for Ms. Jackson, JK, man, Judy Jackson. I ended up finding out I had dyslexia and didn't even know it. And she was just like, oh man, guess what? You have dyslexia. And I was like, okay, so what I got to do? I got to train. I got to do, like, you know, you know. She was like, nah, that's a good thing. Like, we can fix that. And I was like, oh, okay, it's a something. And I didn't even know that. And it was just like, once I figured that out and I understood, like, oh, okay, I was something else. And I think, and I never told anybody, this is the first time, that's funny. Everybody always asked me, well, how you do this, why you do that? But it was because I always thought, like, I really ain't that smart, so I gotta figure it out. Mm-hmm. And then when I found out that I was smart, but I just learned differently, and then that's when I took it over. I was just like, oh, it's good. Now I just gotta work on this a little harder, but I'm good now. You know, so I put, just like Coach Ramsey used to say, man, I just put that tool in my toolbox, and I just carry that sword with me everywhere I go. And and JK, you know, man, I used to be, and I laugh, I was, my wife, we went to the game, the spring game the other day, and we was driving, bro. Do you know what was the first place I stopped, JK?
What's up?
Right at the entrance where the hill was, because I told her, I was like, babe, I used to run hills. Like, some of the fellas used to be coming from the club, but I'd be up there running the hills and shit. Like, that meant something to me. Like, I stopped and just pulled up and just looked at the hill, like, because that's what made me, you know what I'm saying? Like, I remember that. I like, That's the stuff that I remember. Like when I'm having, like I'm going on auditions, or I got meetings that we got to do, and we're really dreaming and believing for some big things. I think about them hills, man.
So with that being said, at what point did you say, you know, like, cause you, like I said, dude, you have a lot of things going on. So at what point did you realize you wanted to not just be a football player, but like right now you do like sports and you do acting, you do modeling, you do a lot of different things. So at what point did you say, I can do all this stuff?
Yeah. It's funny you said that, because I've always had that in me. I just never told anybody. I always felt I was a little weird. JK know a little bit. I was a little bit by myself when it came to the team. And when I look back, you know, you look back on your life, you're like, man, I wish I would have spent more time with my teammates. But I've always felt like football really wasn't the only thing I wanted to do. It was just, I felt that was going to get me to what I wanted to do. And I've never told you, well, I've told people now lately, but I used to love O.J. Simpson, because I was just like, damn, he used football to get on TV. I was just like, well, shit, maybe I can do that.
Yeah, right. We all did.
We all did, right? You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, Jim Brown, like we used to see, and I'm like, man, like I was going to go to SC until Deion Sanders started being my guy. But I used to always look up to that, because I was like, man, he was able to do that to do that. And I saw the jump, and I was just like, that's what I'm going to do. But then I just never knew how to do it. So I just really was kind of like in my little zone. But then once I was done playing ball, you get thrown out on the streets. You know, I tell JK know that, you know, the NFL is like an ex-girlfriend. You still love her, but you can't stand her ass. And, mm-hmm. and she throw you away. And then what you got left? Like, well, what you going to do? So when you thrown into the fire like that, and you don't know what's the next thing, you got to start creating. And that's when I was just like, let me just start being who I always wanted to be.
I want to go back to Miss Jackson, because JK has mentioned her on and the fact that she unlocked something in you, took the time to learn something in you. And there's one thing you said in there in your comments about her, was that the same things that were in you that made you a competitive, persevering athlete, she unlocked that to show that potential on the other side. And JK spoke about, we all have somebody like that, but he's spoken about her kindly on many occasions. And every athlete that we've had on here from UT, man, when you talk about Miss Jackson, they like you did, man.
It's the ultimate time. Respect. And I had a meeting today, and we were talking about gratitude and being thankful and thinking about who, you know, like what people in your life that you're thankful for.
Mm-hmm.
And she was one of the first people that I thought, you know, outside of your parents and, you know, your friends and all that. But I'm so thankful that, you know, Miss J was at Tennessee. And I'm hoping that, you know, these universities have a person like Judy Jackson that works with athletes, because if you don't have a person like that that cares, you might not be where you are.
Yep. And she thought that out of you. Like, that's the thing I thought about. Like there was, think about how many, she wasn't all about the glitz and the glamour of this guy was going to the pros or this. She cared about every single guy, and she gave everybody that attention. And I think for me, man, like, man, I would have, if she unlocked that thing and was like, she was my Morpheus, like my Oracle. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. She unlocked that thing I needed to hear, that ignited everything for that. That's the best thing I can say about her.
Yeah, I appreciate you sharing that with us, man. When I think back to us when we're at Tennessee, you know, and some things that I wish I would have done. And we had a conversation about from our previous guest. We talked about, I wish I would have networked and you know, built more relationships and all that good stuff. And
especially,
I
know, UT.
Yeah, it's so, you know, but for when I think about you, you were probably one of the most focused guys on the team, right? And then I don't know. I'm trying to pick out where you got that from. Was it from your parents, or was it from your traveling? Was it from the military experience? What brought that?
That was from my dad. My dad was real 4:30 in the morning, bed made. You know, so I had that. Me and my brother both had that growing up. So, like, discipline was never hard for me. Like, when and this is no this you know I to see all the guys that was drinking in JK. Yeah. No, I didn't drink in college. I mean, I'm drinking now.
But that ain't listening. He good.
We good. You know, but it was one of those things. It was like, nah, man, you're not. You know, I cannot afford being distracted. You know what I'm saying? Some of these guys can be distracted and still make it. I can't afford that to happen. And I think, you know, for me, I always had that chip on my shoulder to, like, nope, I'm gonna prove, you know. When I went to Tennessee, everybody in Oklahoma didn't think I should have went. Mm-hmm. Everybody wanted me to go stay close home. They were like, you know what? Bad decision. You know, he's not. And so I had so much to prove to, you know, I've always got a chip on my shoulder for some reason, you know. But that, to me, I think that's what keeps you sharp. Yeah, man.
Yeah, you went out. Could you repeat that, man? Last 15 seconds. We had a bad connection. I'm sorry about that.
Yeah, no, I was just saying, like, I've always had a chip on my shoulder. So it's just, it's one of those, like, I love to push myself. I love to, like, man, I always just said to myself, man, I want to tell everybody I'm more than just tackling and football and just running, man.
Right.
There's more in me, and I just didn't know how to express that. You know, I just didn't know how to do it when I was in college. So once I was done, I was just like, man, let me just start doing it. Like, get it. Let's just see if it works. If I am who I thought I was, then it'll work. And so that's kind of how everything got started.
So I think it's interesting that you say that, because that's one of the things, the whole premises of this podcast is for guys who, you know, we all play ball and everything, but then people don't understand that it doesn't last forever. So we can do other stuff. So like you said, I'm more than that. So like you got Kevin, who's now a high school principal. We have me, who's been a high school principal. We have Joy, who owns his own company. I think a lot of times people don't understand that. I think when people see certain people, they think, oh, that dude was so fast. Don't remember me for being fast. Remember me for being smart as hell. So, you know, those type of things are the things that I think a lot of people get away from. So how do you perpetuate that onto other people?
Man, you know what? The whole, with everything that I'm doing, I think I'm starting to learn, like, I've always, that whole more than the athlete, I've become my brand. And yeah. I push that on players, you know, and even for what I do with the Fan Control Football League. And even when I have my sports company, I'm like, man, look, like, use these platforms and show people that you're more than that. People are screaming your name, man. Like, figure out how can I turn that into something else? You know what I'm saying? So that's kind of that. I try to live it. When you always say, you know, you look at my resume, I'm always trying to live it. Always, every day, because I want players to see, especially now with what's going on with the kneel policy in the NCAA, know that you have an ability to benefit from your name and brand right now. If you think about it, JK, we had 110,000 people screaming at us every Saturday. Just imagine if them people knew about your business, you know, from years and years and years and on. And that to me is important. I think I'm trying to, that's kind of been my, I guess, my philanthropy, in the sense of, like, getting that message out to say, man, I'm tired of just being known for a helmet. Or I'm tired of, yeah, it's cool that, you know, I played for the Bears. That's great. But guess what? I've made money and income and savings and with my body. I've made money doing it with my brain. So check these things out as well. So, man, I'm always pushing that. I'm always pushing that message every day, all day.
Yeah, these guys get on me all the time, because anytime I have somebody from Tennessee, I'll talk a lot about Tennessee.
Just a little bit. Just a little bit.
A little bit. We had D. Jink on here. You know, we've had quite a few.
I'm going to move on from Tennessee.
He's really not. It's going to come back around.
It will come back around, but I'm literally moving on from Tennessee. You get drafted in the fifth round to the Bears. I think for me, I'm going to speak for me. You know, when you get drafted – And especially, you know, you're 23, 24 years old. You think you're going to play forever. Like, you think you're going to have like a 10, 12 year career. That was my mindset. Obviously, it didn't work out for me that way. Played 4 years, didn't do much in the NFL. But for you, did you have that mindset, or did you come in thinking, okay, I need to have an exit plan?
No. I'm gonna be straight up. And just to kind of correct everybody, I was drafted to New York, and I don't know if many people remember that, New York. And Bill Parcells was my head coach. Bill Belichick was my defensive back coach. I played there for 3 years, and I had an amazing time there being with Bill Belichick. We got along very well. Me and Parcells didn't, either one or the other. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But and then you're right. You think it's going to last forever. You think that's where you're going to stay. Then your ass get traded, and one morning you with the New York Jets, and the next day you with Chicago Bears, and you're trying to figure it all out. And for me, JK, you know, when I look back at our careers, and I look back, like, you know, you looked at when we were in school, you saw Charlie and Lil Man and them getting, you know, Corey and them getting drafted. That was the end for me. That's where the dream stopped. You know, I was like, all right, I got drafted, you know, and then I'm in the NFL. But there was no what was after that. And so when I was when the NFL breaks up with you, it was just like, what's next? Mm-hmm. That plan wasn't set in place, man. And it was difficult. And I think, you know, people don't really realize that breakup that you have with professional sports, that professional guys have. You know, you've been dating this person and married to this person and in business with this person since you was 8 years old.
Yep.
And then now it's
the longest relationship you have, man.
Right. And now it's all over.
And they say you're not good enough.
And they insult you as they kick you out. Yeah.
You're not good enough, man.
So, you know, that was hard. And it was hard for everybody. I think everybody goes to a little PSD when it comes to that. And then you man up and you figure out what's next for you. And then I think that was difficult, it wasn't a you know, fairy tale to jump into the things I did. And man, I remember feeling that way, bro. And I just, for me, I pressed that on my players, like, I don't want y'all to feel that way. Like, I'm gonna give you guys platforms and things to do so that doesn't happen, because it's nothing better than probably working with somebody that you know watched you on TV and cheered with, you know. And that's difficult, you know what I mean? And I know I've seen a lot of my former players that, you know, they're not happy with you know, some of the jobs or opportunities that they have right now. And they wish that they were still into those things. And I think for me, it's just like, I want to make sure that I can open up or help support somebody wanting to make that transition, because that transition is very, very difficult.
That's awesome, man. Two questions. How long did it take you to, you never really get over it, right? Not fully, but how long did it take you to get over it or get through it?
Yeah.
And then what was your next move?
Yeah, about 4 or 5 years. About 4 or 5 years.
Yeah. Wow.
About four or five years. You know how it is, you know, you go from church and then you go to Applebee's and then you look up and then there go the Bears right there playing. There go
Yeah.
And it burns in you, you know? And so it took about 4 or 5 years, but I did what I thought I love to stay in the weight room. So my first entrepreneur idea was to, hey, look, you know what? Let me train kids. So went to a high school, one of the top high schools in Chicago, in Illinois, met with you will love this story, Joe, JK. I'll be very quick with it. Met with this coach and he was like, yeah, man, I would love for you to come and train our players on the off season. Great. Come talk to him. I'm sitting in the, I go into the parking lot, school's over, they're waiting for me. I go back home because I was nervous. And call up the coach and like, coach, my bag got a flat tire. I apologize for you doing that. You know what he said? Oh, no, hey, no problem. We'll see you tomorrow.
Yeah.
So I got to do this. This is what
this is man up.
Called done deal. Get there, talk to the team. Team loves me. We love each other. The coach calls me in his office, JK, and goes, listen, I know you said you didn't want to coach, but I was wondering, could you help me? Could you teach my players this? Pops in the tape. And I look at him and I look at the tape and I'm like, are you serious? Like, this is Tennessee and that's me right there. That's Jake. That's number 11. That's me just getting beat by. It was a clinical tape that Kevin Ramsey put together on one-on-one drills. And you and I were on that tape.
Wow.
And I'm sitting there like, man. And that's when I knew, like, this was what I was going to do. And I did it for 5 years, had an unbelievable time. We ended up training 4 NFL players, Tony Milwaukee, Justin Tuck, Pat Tillman, and Tommy Zibakowski. Did that for about 5 years, loved it. But always, like I said, always had that that love for entertainment. And that's where I belong, man. So I moved to Chicago, and it was so funny. I ended up getting lost on a street. And when I turned to the left, I saw the agency, and I was just like, okay, let's go.
Yeah.
Walked in, was like, I was thinking about acting and modeling. And they was like,
Wait, you just walked in on the humbug?
Oh, the humbug. This, they go, okay, it's Tuesday and Thursday is open call. So we will see you on Thursday if you want to come back. I was like, cool. Can I use the bathroom? Walked straight upstairs to the agent, man, and sat down with this dude, told him who I was, NFL football, you know, former guy, played this. And he was like, man, I love your look. Unfortunately, you're too big. He was like, but I like your personality. Maybe we could take you down to commercial print. And I'm like, all right, go meet with that agent. He walks me down there. And then the assistant looking at me like, this motherfucker. I'm like. the agent signs me on the spot. Literally, he was like, and then they were like, you know what? Let's take him upstairs to on camera. Let's see if they like him. Man, I'm sitting there with all the agents. When I walk in there, JK.
Hold on, this is the same day.
Same day. When I'm walking in there, JK, I'm stepping over headshots because they're everywhere. All over. This is how many people wanted to do to be in the industry. I'm sitting down in there and I'm talking to them all, telling them my background. And they're like, they give me a contract right there. I go, all right, I'm going to take these and let my agent see them. And they just laughed at me. They were like, damn, like, we just offered him a contract and he goes, like, most people just jump at that joint. And from then on, bro, it was love at first sight. They've been my agents for the last 15 years. I've done over 136 commercials. I've been on probably about 60, 70 print ads all over the world. I'm one of the only black models for a company called Ariat. It's a boot company. They do amazing. Oh, they're an international company and an international brand. They do a lot of the stuff with Black Rodeo, equestrians, stuff like that. And I mean, I've done commercials for Netflix, Target, Walmart, Bank of America. I've done I played Cookie's father on Empire, Chicago Fire, Chicago PD. And currently, just as of yesterday, I've just signed on for 4 episodes of a new show called The Big Leap on Fox.
Man, congratulations.
It's a real cool show. I get to play a coach, bro.
So how is it playing the father of someone who's older than you?
Man, oh, well, so that's funny you said that. And everybody was like, how are you Cookie's dad? I'm like, well, if you think about a lot of these shows, they have flashbacks. Mm-hmm. So I'm her father. Well, I'm her father the whole time, but I got 3 cookies. I got a baby cookie, a middle sized cookie, and a teenage cookie. So I would, every time she, you know, obviously Cookie had a lot of emotional, you know, baggage, and I was her. Me and her had a really good relationship, and I ended up dying before. And I knew that Lucius was not good for her, and I kept telling her. And then I ended up dying, and then so she has that regret in her life. So that was cool to be able to meet up with Taraji and to do all that. So it was
cool. So I got a quick question. Because we had Derek Anderson on here several weeks ago. And he talked about, he already had it mapped out from when he got drafted. Like, he started seeing, he had a plan. Most professional athletes, we plan after the fact. Like, I'm going to play this career and I'm going to see what's up next.
Fortunately,
Yeah, and you kind of alluded to that, like, man, like I've been there. JK's been there. I'm sure Ty's been there. You go to the, like you said, Applebee's, and you see the team. You're like, man, I still did it. How's this dude still playing? He was my backup. You know,
he was waiting behind me.
Right. You know what I'm saying? And you're like, man, I can still do this thing. And like, what's next? And on the, like you said, on the humbug, you just happen to go to this agency and started a new career. And it's interesting to hear different dynamics of, here's somebody who had the world at his oyster. He was a champion at every level, pro, college, the whole nine, lottery pick. But he treated it as, this is temporary. Whereas most of us pro athletes don't treat it as temporary in the sense that we're going to do this while we have it. I'm in my dream. I'm going to do while I have it. But when it's over, I'll figure it out. Yep. So, and I didn't want to gloss over that, because there is a time of transition. You, like you said, I started coaching or training kids, and I just started on this new path, and now it's led you down where you're at today.
Man, I'm going to tell you right now, that me training kids, having my own gym, it was a 40,000 square foot gym. Marwin Klein, JK,
that's right.
Worked for us. Yeah. He worked for me. Yeah. Man, he was amazing. Like, he was great with the kids. He was great with the community. We looked like the superhero. We looked like a superhero group, bro. Like, everybody was either was a former NFL player or a college guy. Man, we trained over, I don't know, 1,400 athletes in that area. We had an amazing company. It really was great. And it really, the funny thing, I laugh about it now, because back then, you know, you think of a trainer, and it didn't have a lot of, panache or whatever, but that prepared me for what I do now, and which is so crazy. It prepared everything back then was preparing me for what I was doing, what I'm doing now. And I would never think that I would have known what to do if I wasn't, I was literally doing it back then. So that's what I look back on, man, and go like, it really opened up my entrepreneur mindset. It really showed me that, okay, I can focus on sports and entertainment. I have something there. So when I was with my agency, they were doing such a great job with me. I was like, I went to the owner and was like, I got an idea. I got a proposal for you. You tell me what you think. And I was like, we should open up a sports agency, and I will go out and find guys like me, find men and women that were former collegiate sports players, and we'll put them in commercials. So she did the deal with me. So I'm partnered up with her. And so we did all Devin Hester's Under Armour commercials. We worked with Peyton. We did his Sony. We found football players in his Sony commercials. Do you guys know, you remember when McDonald's had Ronald McDonald doing all the NFL stuff? He was actually the player that was doing all the moves on the actual, that was my guy that we put in that commercial. So we had the whole entire group of football players in the Ernie Davis story, the first Black Heisman. So it was like, that's when I started to understand, like, man, I think this is where I fit, sports and entertainment, and where that meshes.
Man, I tell you what, my phone number still works. I don't know if I have the look.
I could be somebody's daddy on one of these shows, man. Come on.
My phone number works, man. It's funny. The thing that you say about, you worked in commercials and print, it'll be like a random Saturday. I'm, and I'm like doing something. I hear your voice. I'm like, that's great, man. And then a couple of times, like my daughter, especially when she was a lot younger, I would see you a lot. And I'll say, man, that's Ray. And she'll look at me like, you don't know that dude. I do know. That's Ray. That's Ray Ray, man. I do know him.
Man, those are the best, man, when you get the text out of the blue, man. You're like, man, I just saw you, man.
But it's probably hard work, too, from the acting standpoint and the print and the modeling. Right. I mean, that's not an easy profession.
Let me tell you, JK, everybody always asks me, what's harder, acting or football? I say acting. They go, what? You go all through that stuff. I was like, I was made to be a football player.
Yep.
I had to learn this. this is a whole nother craft. Like, and they didn't, and that's when they started understanding. One of the best comments I've ever had was like when other actors find out that I played football, because they're like, I thought you was an actor. And I'm like, that's the way it should be, because I have transitioned from that. That's when I was in that field, that's the person I was. Now I'm in this field. This is a craft. So I take it I've got two episodes coming up, and I was just on set yesterday for The Big Leap. It's going to be on Fox 8 Central, just like I did like a commercial and shit.
Yeah, there you go. I just
dropped that promo real quick. That's a professional right there.
Leaned into the camera. You're a professional. Leaned in.
You know what I'm saying? But before I was meeting with y'all, I was walking back and forth in my hallway. I'm in Chicago right now. I'm one of our other places. And I'm just walking down the hallway going over my lines. My wife, she has to take that script, and I give her the remote, give it to her. And she says the other lines. She records those. I put those in my ear. This is like watching film. That's how I look at it. This ain't no different from me watching film. It's a you gotta take this on as a craft. So I'm in my car. Instead of listening to music, put that recording on. I'm saying my lines as I'm driving. And it starts to become you, and you're not thinking about it. So I take every you know, anything that I can do to, man, to sharpen that axe, man, I'm gonna do it.
So Ray, how do we talk to those kids? Because let's say you go back to your high school, and you got a guy who's done these commercials, done these shows, done all these things, played college football, played pro football. How do you go back to these kids and say, look, man, I had dyslexia. This is what you can do. How do you have that conversation with those guys?
You know what? And it's funny you say kids in high school. I've had a lot of those conversations more with college players right now, because it seems like our college players right now are like, no one knows what's going on, especially with this whole NIL policy. Mm-hmm. I think it's opened up such a place for opportunity, and that's something that I'm taking on. I you see me wearing the hats called Athlete. We've launched another company that's a mobile app that's going to allow college players to benefit from their name, image, and likeness. And we think about this, the whole NIL policy, you know, only 2% of those people are really going to benefit from it. The starting quarterback, the top running back, the guard that was already going to get drafted and going to make $1 million. But what about the golfer and the swimmer and the walk-on player? What happens with them in the whole NIL policy? Doesn't change their life at all. So we thought about it in a different way and said, let's flip the bottle and think about the bottom up. And like, how can everybody get something from the NIL policy? So we've partnered up. With my other company, we partnered up with tons of sponsors that are saying, hey, we want the entire NCAA. So every athlete that comes on our platform will all get paid from an actual sponsor. So let's just say Gatorade comes in on it and says, you know what, we want 7,000 football players. Well, regardless of what school you're at, if you're on our platform, you get paid on that just by being a part of that sponsorship. So instead of looking at, like, I think for me, it's like, how do we set up other platforms for athletes to be able to benefit from what they're doing? So everything that I try to do, I try to connect it to a place to say, hey, here's a platform for you. Start thinking about that. I was just literally, JK, literally before we was on the phone, was on a podcast with Allen Iverson and Adewale Ogunleye, with the UBS and HBCU schools.
Well, you stepped down on talking to us then, man.
he was like, I gotta call these dudes.
No, you know, you got your PG-13 and you got your rated R. You know, I came to come.
You gotta call these guys real quick.
But just got off of that podcast with 300 or 400 HBCU student athletes talking about, you know, generational wealth. And it's just like being a part of those conversations and being just, a toothpick in the mouth. I may not have all the answers, but I'm going to definitely be able to bring some type of resources to those conversations. So,
man, I really want to get on this this fan controlled football league. And
come on now. Let's go.
Came about because this is the girlfriend calling you back. Right. This is football calling you back. Where'd the concept come from? You're the co-founder. Like, how did this come about?
Dude, it was all my idea. And I'm just laughing. We all say that. We all laugh and say that. That's the joke, the running joke. I was in Chicago and I was working on I was literally in a bar, and somebody changed the actual channel, and they were like, hey, the bar, whatever the bar wants is what the channel goes on. I was like, oh, that'd be cool if that'd be in sports. Man, literally just had keep that nugget there. One of my buddies asked me to come to his semi-pro football game, and it was semi-pro, so I was like, all right, I'll go. He's like, man, I want you to talk to my players and all that. Fine, whatever. I'm sitting in the stands, bro. And I'm sitting there like cussing out the coach. Like, what the hell is this coach doing?
He's a sideline coach.
Bruh. So I'm texting my guy because it's semi-pro. He's new. He's got his phone. So I'm like,
daggone shit.
He's like, hold up. So I'm like, man, your coach is an idiot. Run this. So I'm sitting in the stands. I'm like, you know what? I'm going to go ahead and talk to this. Like, I do my little spiel, my little football spiel. And I'm like, coach, you mind staying and y'all running some plays for me, and then you mind running defense? And he was like, all right. I was like, can I get your phone number? I took his phone number down, went back up in the stands because that's the only way I saw it. I was like, I text him, run a sweep. And he ran a sweep. Run a play action pass. And then dude caught it. Then he started going down the field, and then we scored. I was like, thank you, sir. Went home, man. And I just started beta testing, learning what that meant to beta test an app. Ran into some really great people that just showed me how to get it to a certain place, put a little money into it. And then I literally had a beta test app of 4 plays that fans could, just pick a play, and then, somebody would call it and run it. Ran out of money, bro. Didn't have no money to do it. Did it, put like literally $15,000 in it. Just ran out of money. And ran into my buddy Tony Parrish, played with me with the Chicago Bears. University of Washington, one of the best safety, real analytical safety, real smart dude. Met for dinner, and he was just like, man, what are you working on? I told him the idea, man. He was like, dude, that is stupid as hell. That is so dumb. And I was just like, what? And he told me everything that I needed to know. Like, he was like, man, that ain't going to work because of this. You got to do that. You got to do this. 6 months later, he calls me back. He goes, man, I ran into a guy that owns the Las Vegas Outlaws, which is an indoor football league.
Yeah.
And he's thinking about doing the same thing you're thinking. And I'm like, oh, shit. Okay. Who is this dude? As I start getting nervous, like, okay. And he was like, he wants to meet with you. I said, let's do it. I literally flew up that next day, and he had met with 2 other guys that he never knew. One was in SEO and one was in gaming. And we never knew. We sitting there like, and we all had the same idea, but we just had it from a different way, man. And I say that to my CEO. He was just that smart. Put young cat, already exited 2 companies already. And he put the dream team together. And we all looked at each other and said, instead of competing, why don't we just come together and do this damn thing? And that's what we did. And that was 7. That was 7.5 years ago.
Talk about the people that you, wow, other former athletes and entertainers you have involved with the league.
Yeah, man. So just to give you real quick, the Fan Control Football League. It's a 4-league team a 4-team league that we created by the fans. The fans create everything. The names. You see this logo right here? This was actually a logo that was made by a fan, and all the fans voted on it, and that became the logo of the team, and it's called the Glacier Boys. Some team owners that are part of that ownership are Quavo, Richard Sherman, And we've got some social influencers. Mm-hmm. Now we have these four teams. We're trying to figure out, like, you know, you think about the Chicago Bears or University of Tennessee, you're usually a part of a team because of the demographics of it. Well, we had the pandemic. So all of our players were all staying in the same hotel. They all played at the same stadium. And so we had to figure out, like, how do we get fanship for each one of these teams? And we said, you know what, we'll use celebrities and social influencers. So each team has some type of celebrity pool and some type of tech or social influencer. So we've got, you know, social influencers like Bob Menery. He gets over, you know, 300,000 hits a day. We got a guy named Destroying. He was the first black kicker that had the first YouTube that the NCAA said, you got to shut your YouTube down or lose your scholarship. Wow. He said, forget my scholarship. Now the man makes $500,000 doing YouTube videos. Mm. And so he's one of our, and we got a video right now on YouTube that he did. I think we got like 3 million hits on it. And it's like, so we wanted to connect with our, this new generation of fanship. And that was the way we did it.
Gosh, man, that's an amazing story.
Yeah, for real.
Yeah, man. We've been doing this for 7 years. We've got we're going into our season two. This was just February. February was our first season. We played 6 games, 6 weeks, and it's played like a video game. So it's not a 3-hour game. It's a 1-hour game. We took out all special teams. So it's just played real fast like a video game. You download the app, you get 6 plays. You pick a play. Everybody in the world picks a play. That one play is voted on in 12 seconds and sent down to the quarterback, and he has to call that play.
Wow. That would be fun, man. It's like playing.
Yeah, and so when we take out special teams, and JK, I told you, once we take out special teams, the extra point is the man-on-man drill.
One-on-one.
One-on-one.
Red zone?
The end zone. That's it.
Red zone, one point.
Yes, sir. Red zone. 2 point or 1 point. And so that's how we do the extra point. So in that extra point, that ended up becoming so popular, we ended up making it a show. And so we call it the man up drill. So all of our sponsors love it. So you know how, like in a video game, if like you get to a level and you level up, mm-hmm. Well, all of our sponsors decided for if players were in the one-on-one drill and you beat me, JK, you get a level up. You get an extra life. Mm. So let's just say you get a flag. You don't get that flag. You know what I'm saying? So we have like Progressive, Gatorade, IBM, Verizon. Those are our sponsors. And so they take those as our quote unquote level ups.
Man, that's awesome. When does the season start again? And what's next for the league?
So season two starts in mid-April. I cannot release that name or that date, but I can say last year we were on Twitch, and Twitch is now not only one of our sponsors, but we were on there. We had the number one platform that year on Twitch, and we had over 13 million viewers on that platform. We just signed just Friday a deal with NBC. I don't know if I can say that now.
We just signed a distribution deal with
a major network.
Awesome.
We're super excited about it.
Man, that's what's up. You know, what's interesting, because I'm, you know, thinking the entrepreneur side, I'm thinking sports book too. Start linking up with FanDuel and whoever else.
We've already talked to him. So before, you know, it's so funny because before the pandemic, we had partnered up with Caesars and we were going to go to Vegas. That was a big deal. But once the pandemic hit, you know, that just went away. But we're definitely thinking about with the whole, I mean, we have become a sports tech incubator, you know, and if you think about the NFL, JK, like a lot of, it's hard to get a lot of technology in the NFL. So We've allowed a lot of things in our league, which is great. So a lot of the games are shot by drones, and the guys are all mic'd up, and we have heart monitors on the guys, so you know when and when to take the guys out. But you know, we're wanting to be the future forward innovative team. So you know, the name of the company is Fan Control Sports and Entertainment, because football is our first sport. We're already talking about other sports that we're going to be into.
Man, that's awesome, man. It's so much meat on this bone, but we want to respect your time, right? Yeah. I mean, it's you've lived an interesting life, man. You moved around when you were little. You know, you lived out your dream of playing in the NFL, and now you've moved on, and it seems like you're just going to continue to elevate. What's next for you, man? Like, what do you want? Like, do you have an ultimate goal, or what's next?
My what's next is exactly what I've been working on, and I call it WE, the wealth ecosystem. It's once we get into a position, I always say to myself, man, once you get into a position of a seat, you got to start making room. Mm-hmm. And there's a couple of different projects I'm working on. We are pitching a show to a network called Renovation U, where we're going to go in and JK, you know, University of Tennessee, Florida State, Michigan, you know, you see these great athletic departments. Well, when you look at the HBCU schools, you don't see that. So I created a show called Renovation U, where we're going to go in and renovate HBCU schools.
That's awesome. That's dope, man. Great concept.
We're going to get African-American companies actually a part of some of that too. But that to me is my next generation. My overtime in life is going to be philanthropy, where we're giving back to our culture. And, you know, it's time. It's time for that. And, you know, for me, like I done had and done, like you said, we done all done all that. Mm-hmm. To me, now it's time to open up the doors for everybody else.
Man, that's good stuff. That's I appreciate
dope.
You, man.
That's dope.
Yeah, for real.
Man, there's so much meat on the bone, but we want to respect your time. So we're going to go to this or that. I want these guys to start, because I got to come back.
Man, I'm going
to
start us off right there. I might hurt some feelings with this one. I was drafted with this cat. You mentioned him earlier in the draft, number 12. So I'm going to ask you a question. Marcus Nash was 30th in 1998 draft to the Denver Broncos. So I'm going to ask this question since you lined up against both of them.
Here we go.
Who was a tougher one-on-one matchup, number 11 or number 12?
No, disrespect to my 12. I love my 12. But nah, number 11. No.
Oh, okay. For those that listen and don't know, Joey Kent wore number 11.
Right.
Marcus Nash
wore right.
The
check.
Yeah, you got to play.
Marcus was tough.
You got to play him off. You got to play Marcus off and let him catch the ball and just tackle him. You just do. You got to fight with him. You got to figure out which is the best one for that day. Like, do I play off on him? Do I play man, like tight up? I will 100% that JK 1000. Look, I've watched film 100%.
Thank you. The check is in.
Wow.
Okay.
It might not be a big check, but it's a check, you know.
No, 100%.
I was worried about feelings on that one, but you know.
Damn my feelings then, right?
Yeah, it's good.
Hey, Ray, you see how they do me, man? Damn my feelings, man.
So here we go, Ray. So let's go with like some of the things you've done. So would you rather play professional football or act in a movie, not a TV show, not a commercial, but a movie?
Big time. Like
major movie.
That's good.
That's stuff. Like
with
marquee name character.
Let's go with I said Joy's trying to predict. He's trying to predict who I say, because I'm gonna go with
Andrew. The plane, man.
Oh my god,
bro! I'm gonna tell you right now, a movie. If you put me in a Marvel movie, I'm done.
See, that's not even what I was.
Yeah, I'm just saying, like you gotta.
You want to be a superhero. I wasn't even going with that. I was going with a love scene with you, maybe you or Raji P or something like that. You want to be Iron Man.
Love scene? Oh, man. I would have to take – I'm going to be honest with you, man. I had two auditions for P-Valley, so I would I would say football over that, but nah, they get a little real. They get a little real.
This is active. We just acting.
You know, we had Eddie George on there one time, and his wife had was in the background, and she left the room. He talked about, you know, if it's J-Lo, you know, I had to think about some things, so.
But he gonna talk about Bobby.
I see the wheels turning.
But he gonna talk about Bobby Brown.
I'm trying to protect my teammate.
Here. I understand.
Let's get off that.
This is
I'm a little close.
So he's my captain.
It's your question, JK.
So you guys said that I was gonna bring it back to Tennessee, and of course I am.
Okay.
This is not a this or that, but what is your favorite game? While playing at the University of Tennessee, like, what was the most enjoyable? What's your
so you gonna disregard moment? The whole concept?
Alabama to me. My freshman year when they tied with David Palmer,
yes,
and on that goal line, and
everybody knew he was gonna run right, and he did
come
it.
Come on, and you know it, and then when Chuck hit that 74-yard, man, come on, man, and then when we won, it's just Alabama.
Yeah, I tell people all the time, like, people remember that first play, but people forget about how nasty the defense was that night. You, Leonard, it was such a perfect football game.
Such a good game. It was one of those games. Like, man, this is why I play football right here. Man.
In that locker room, I tell people all the time. You know, I've been, you know, AFC Championship locker room, which is awesome, and everybody's excited. But a college football locker room, like, and beating your rival that you haven't beaten in a long time, that the love, I like that locker room is something that it puts us, you can't beat it.
Can't beat it, man. Home away, like, when I think about those memories of those games, man, that those were just amazing memories, man. Amazing. Yeah.
Man, I really appreciate your time, my brother. Thank you so much, man. Love you, man. I thank you for your time, man.
Man, shouts out to you, man. I tell you, man, I follow what you're doing with the man. I think that's a great idea.
Thank you.
You should think about, and I don't know, I'm probably sure somebody's brought this to your attention, but you should think about that being NFTs too, man. Like,
you mentioned that. I am going to, we're going to wrap.
Yeah, we should definitely wrap. We're working with somebody that's doing, but I'm telling you, man, you guys are onto something, so.
I appreciate it, man. Thank you so much for your time, Ray.
Appreciate you, man.
Appreciate you, bro.
Appreciate y'all, man. I enjoyed it, man. I really did.
Absolutely, right, man. And we keep that on the wraps with your show's about, man.
I'm sending you these headshots, bro.
Yeah, send them single for sure.
They'll be on the floor with other people and step over me.
No.
All right, my brother.
Love, man.
Oh, man. Appreciate y'all, man.